This morning, gentlemen, when I was asked to bring a message for it this morning or do some sort of teaching, I struggled with it. I mean, I've known about this for a few months, but I've really struggled on what God wanted me to speak to you about today. And I've been praying about it, asked others to pray for me through this. And it was basically I woke up one morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and boom, God hit me. It's like, here it is. And with that, I want to share something that's dear to me, that's on my heart, experiences that I've had in my life. And through all this, I hope that you hear it, that you can take away that we're all men. Kenny said something this morning about if you don't have that guy that you can call when you need to, 2 o'clock in the morning, you need to find that guy. It's funny because we talked about that this morning. Kenny was not in the group when we were talking about it, but God's brought it together through him and through what I want to teach today. One of the things I want to say, though, is that I brought this topic up, and we were discussing it Thursday. And it's like, what do you call it? And I asked if anybody had seen the show Last Man Standing. We got any Last Man Standing fans out here that you've watched that? This guy is a real nuts and bolts kind of guy, my kind of guy. And I heard about this show about a year and a half ago from a coworker, and he goes, you got to watch this show. He goes, every time I watch it, he goes, I think about you, And I'm like, well, now I got to watch it. Is it good or is it bad, So I hope you like the show, and it tells you a little bit of something about my personality. But back to what I wanted to teach on. Skip over the last 6 weeks has talked about the vision statement of this church, and the vision statement is that we as a body of believers pursue a God who passionately pursues a lost world. We do this as believers with one another through worship, by the word, and to the world. And out of that, I found three powerful statements in there. And those were through worship, they were by the word, and to the world. And actually, you know what? Before we get started, let me pray here. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the men that have walked into this building today. We're all here by design. We're all here for your purpose. We're all here to support one another, wrap arms with one another, and to just be men that represent you in a powerful way. And Lord, just bless the men here and honor this day as we honor you. Thank you. Amen. So let me start with worship. You know, when I heard Skip teach on worship, I was like, wow, this is a tough one for me. I'm not a singer. I'm not a musician. I'm not any of that, I have a hard time with worship at times. At times, I literally, I through worship services in church, I just find myself praying. I find myself just being silent. Let God speak to me. And then I find myself singing, When I think of real worship, it's this. You guys are the worship. When we do this on a Saturday morning, it's like heaven. This is what it's going to be like. As long as I'm not singing, We got Charles here. If you ever stand by Charles, I don't know where he's at. But this guy can belt it out. He is like, he rocks when he sings. He puts it all in there. And if I was doing that, you guys would be stoning me in the parking lot out here today. But I'll save you from me singing. The other piece of this was by the word. And I feel it an honor, and I feel that we're blessed to be in the body that we're in here at Calvary. We've got a teacher that stands up there Saturdays and Sundays, Wednesday evenings, and this guy knocks it out of the park. I mean, Skip, for Skip, he knocks it out of the park. If we really want to know the Word of God, this is the place that we're going to know it. And from what he brings out, and there's an important piece of that. Let's see if I can get myself working here. That today we're in a, if you haven't noticed, we're in a fallen world today, guys. We're in a world that's just literally crumbling around us, things that are taking place. And it's all the more reason for us to be grounded, rooted in God's Word, to know what it's really about. There's a number out there right now, and it says that 60 churches a week in the U.S. are closing their doors. That's a huge, huge number. So it tells us where it's going. Either by, they're not teaching the Word of God, or something's going wrong. They're not actually being led by God. But that's an astounding number that's taking place. And again, it's all the more reason for us to really know what's going on, to understand God's Word, and to be firm in it. And there's a scripture that came to mind when I was thinking about that. It's Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, we're in a great place where we hear the word of God, and we grow from that word of God. And I can't say enough about Skip and what he actually does for us. Today, what I wanted to talk about, though, as far as scripture, I don't have any PowerPoints up here. I'm sorry, I'm not a PowerPoint guy. But the scripture, a passage I want to use is 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 through 8. So I'm going to go through those at a high level. But at the end of this, I really want to get to where we're going. When we talked about, let me read 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. It says, for the gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You know, they're talking to Thessalonians here, and he says, we were here, we set an example for your sake, you know. And we as men here, we set an example for the guy next to you's sake. You know, we're all in this together. We're here to support one another. We're here to share things in our life, but we're here for one another. That was my main key that I took away from this. But, and I don't know if you've noticed a lot, but we were talking about it briefly a little bit this morning, and I said, you know, for every guy that walks through that door today, there's at least one story in his life, if not multiple stories, of failures, sacrifices they've had to make, or successes in their life, you know? And I think as a body here, as a group of guys, we need to get ourselves to the place where we can actually share those stories, be there for one another. The third part of the vision statement was to the world. And I thought about that, and I thought, to the world, that's a strong thing. And I thought, me as a believer, am I really doing that to the world? You know, am I doing what I should? Am I doing everything that I can? And I got a phrase that I like to use at work, and I always tell the guys, don't talk about it, be about it. You know, if you're going to bring something up in here, don't bring it to me with just discussion, throwing it out there. I want you to be behind it. I want you to support it. I want you to move forward with it. Let's join forces and make it happen. But it drives me that I have to be the same way. If I'm going to be at work and I'm going to testify to be a Christian, a believer, I've got to walk that walk. There are stories that we have to share that will actually show that we walk that walk in a true way. I want to read verse 6 out of that scripture, and it says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You know, guys, we're not going to get this word. We're not going to hear all the sweet, comforting things that we expect to hear, we want to hear at times. We're going to hear about the truth, the word of God, while we're going through affliction. But we're to receive it with joy. And I'm sorry, Johnny, I left a book in my backpack back there. Can I have it? I'm sorry, guys. So in verse 8, I want to skip 7 and go to 8. It says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia, but in Asia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. You know, our faith, the things that we've done, the experiences that we've had in our lives, our testimony that we have should go out in front of us. You know, we need to lead by example. If we're leading, we need to be leaders in our home. We need to be leaders in our churches. We need to be leaders in our community. But what we do by our testimony definitely steps out in front of us. And the people around us should know that. Skip, I went back through some of his notes when he did the teachings on this, and he had a couple explanations of what we should look like in piece of this. And there's a part that I left out of the vision statement, and it was at the beginning. And to me, it was one of the most crucial pieces of the vision statement. And it said, with one another. And that really hit me. That's the piece that hit home. I thought, we've got to do this with one another. We can't go out. We can't do this on our own. We've got to do it together. We've got to have some sort of corporate worship through all this. There was a couple explanations he used out there. He said, with one another is not just a social gathering. It's being social over spiritual things. It says, Christians with one another is the antidote in a world increasing in a world of increasing isolation and persecution. Guys, with everything in our world that's going on around us, society's fighting us to gather as a body of believers. It's fighting us to do so many things in a Christian way. You know, you can walk around, you can talk about just about any other religion, you know, that's out there, Buddhism, just whatever you can think of, but you bring up Christianity and you get frowned on for that. We're in a tough time. We're in a tough piece of this world. And I want to know that, I want you to know that the important piece of us being together as one another is very crucial. I heard Skip, one of the guys brought it up again the other day. He said, Skip made a statement that if you're a Christian, you're in a church. You know, and how many times have you talked to the guy that, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but I can't handle the church thing. You know, if you're going to get support, if you're going to go through tough times, you've got to be in a church. You've got to be in a body of believers where we can support one another. I wanted to read something here from Paul David Tripp. Anybody familiar with Paul David Tripp? Yeah, this guy writes some great stuff. And he wrote something, it was actually just this week. I had already finished notes, and I read this. And it's about corporate worship. It said, corporate worship is a regular gracious reminder that it's not about you. You've been born into a life that is a celebration of another. Corporate worship is celebration that serves as a very important reminder for us all. We gather together to celebrate the one who created, controls, and sits at the center of all things. Every biblical worship service is guided and shaped by the word of Romans 11, 33 through 36. You can make a note and go back and look at this. It's powerful. It said, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. And he kind of finishes this up and he says, so corporate worship calls us back again and again to remember and to celebrate. It calls us to remember that all that exists, includes us, is from God, exists through him, and points to him. He is the beginning, the center, and the end of all things. His will is preeminent and it will be done. His kingdom will come. Grace decimates our lordship and causes us to bow to the one true Lord. It is only by grace that we celebrate a lordship other than our own. Corporate worship points us to our need for the availability of that grace. And the grace that we receive by God is beyond words. It's beyond explanation. It's beyond anything that we can even fathom. You know, I can't even think about having the grace that I need, the grace that I need to forgive people, the grace that I need to just get through life. And it's what's going to bring me, this is what's going to push me to the story today. I want to be open. I want to be honest with you guys. I want to be as real as I can. I want to be there to support you. And I can go to church. I love church. But I tell you what, I love this Saturday morning when we just men get together. I really love it because we can be as men. We can, if you want to go camping with us, you can fart. You can do whatever you want out there, you know. And it's all accepted, you know. We are just real men. So, but today I wanted to just share a story about some personal things in my life, bring it out there, and it really just throw it out there. You know, again, we've all got stories. I'd like to hear a lot of them. But, you know, I've got a great family. I got a loving wife. I got a wife that has stuck. Gosh, don't do this. Through the good and the bad. And when I say bad in our life, it was really bad. We've gone through so many things. We've gone through being broke, rebounded, been on top of the world, broke again, rebounded, you know, just me and dumb investments and things like that. But through it all, God has managed to see us through it. But to tell you a little bit about my background, I'm a mechanic. I was born a mechanic. I think I was born with tools in my hands and the ability just to fix things. And through all that, I've owned a business that was very successful, sold the business. I work for a company here in town that I've been very good at, very successful. My high school days as a mechanic, I won a national championship in troubleshooting. I got a scholarship through that. God just graced me, blessed me with the ability to fix things, to make common sense out of them. But I was hit with something that was really hard for me to fix. And it was a broken family, a family that was split up and just torn apart. I don't have a lot of time. I'll give you some of it. But just as we thought we were doing really, really well, I had a daughter at the age of 12 years of age that decided she needed to start running away. It pretty much tore us apart. It was tough on a family. It's especially tough on your wife when you don't know where your daughter's at. My daughter continued this process for, you know, the 1 or 2 day disappearance would turn into weeks that turned into months that turned into longer periods of time. 15 years of age, she's completely gone. I could actually track her. I could find out where she was at, but tried to stay out of it. She had made it very clear she wanted nothing to do with her family, and was gone. It's hard. It's hard to deal with that. A lot of you guys have probably gone through that. My daughter decides to come back home at the age of 17. And it was a great time in our family. It was basically, kind of like the prodigal son. Here she comes back home. She came back home. The rules had not changed. The guidelines about what we stood for, what we believed in, were there. I told her I was going to test her randomly, make sure she's clean on everything, being in the house. She agreed. She actually put her life back together. Well, she puts her life back together. We helped get her back through school. We were trying to get her in to college courses. Believe it or not, she still didn't have a driver's license, you know, at 17. Got her driver's license, got her a car. Seemed to have her life back together. They had a family back together. Then I get the word that she's pregnant. She knew that when she came back, but she kind of held out until she had to tell us about it. And so we were there as a family. We were there to support her, there to get her through whatever she needed to get through and just come alongside her. We were able to get with her boyfriend. They decided that they were going to get married, put a family together. We were really blessed and glad to hear that. I didn't particularly like the guy, but can't imagine why. But we got through it. So she has her first daughter. Now I'm a grandfather sleeping with a grandmother, and it's a real eye opener. It's like, oh, I really am getting old, right? And she seemed like she was doing very well. 2 years later, she winds up pregnant again, and it seemed like it just really knocked the wind out of her. She wasn't ready for that. She winds up having the baby, the second baby, and her husband decides he doesn't want anything to do with it. He walks out, leaves her on her own in an apartment, and just kind of disappeared, didn't want to have any responsibility, anything to do with it. She struggled with that. We tried to support her. We tried to do what we could. And we'd stay in contact with her. Through all this, I'll try to put the story together quickly. Her grandma dies. My wife's mom dies. About 3 months after that, my daughter's left alone. Her husband decides that he's going to take the kids out of town for a weekend or for a week and leaves her there by herself. I can't communicate with her. I can't do anything with her. I can't find her. I'm out of town. I come back home and I decide I've got to go to her house. I got to find my daughter. I go there to the apartment they were living in, and she was living in at the time, and I find my daughter dead. It's not a pleasant thing to find. It's tough. So you deal with all that. You get through that. Now what are my grandkids going to do? What's the husband going to do? He decides that he's going to take ownership of them. He moves in with his mom. They're going to help him raise the kids. Less than 2 years later, you guys will remember the story. I've got a another side of my family with a son that was, I've got three other sons, had boys that raced motocross. They raced motocross all over the country, won national titles, still as amateurs. My youngest son was just signed with Suzuki, was going to ride professionally for them. Just a phenomenal rider. We had just finished up a series racing across the country where he not only won, he won the light division, if you're familiar with motocross at all, the light division. He won the heavy bike, large bike division, and he actually won an outlaw open class. He won the championship in all three of those. You know, you typically find a guy that wins one. He just dominated. He was very dominant in motocross racing, very, very fast, and a good kid. He was a strong believer, Christian, and just very, very, very the kid you're proud of. You know, you knew that whatever he was going to get involved in, he was going to be successful at it. We're getting ready to plan another trip. We were headed to Texas in a couple days, and we were practicing with several guys at our house. We had a full, the largest motocross track in the state here on our own property. We had 15 acres and had a professional course built there. And expecting him to be home, I can't find my son one night. He's not responding to phone calls. He's not responding to anything. Nobody's seen him. Nobody's heard from him. I decided to come into Albuquerque to drive up onto a place where he works that's surrounded by flashing red lights and cop cars. The street's blocked off, and only to go in there and not get much of a response from the police department. But I find out that my son has been shot and killed. My son was part of the John Hyde incident. You remember that. He was the kid that was in the motorcycle shop. I've shared some of this story before, but I found it important to bring that out when I talk about suffering and how God can still bring those pieces together, how that God, by having a relationship with him, he can keep the family intact, he can keep the people around you intact, he can keep things in alignment. I tell you what, that's a time when we talk about having that guy that you can get a hold of at 2 o'clock in the morning. Trust me, I knew who those guys were at that, especially from my first daughter, from my daughter that died. But then with him, you knew who to get a hold of. You knew what you needed from people. And it's a tough time because people around you really don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. But through all that, God got us through it. But I struggled. I was angry. As you can imagine, I was angry at the system. I sat in there with Brandenburg in the DA's office, with Schultz, Chavez, and multiple police officers, and discussed how we were going to move forward with this. And probably one of the hardest times that I had through that whole thing was when they told me that John Hyde was never even going to stand trial. You know, that it just wasn't going to take place. That just tore me apart. I believe there's a part of this, and that's got to be, there's forgiveness, but you're still accountable for what you've done out there. In a world today that nobody wants to seem to accept accountability, but gentlemen, we're all accountable. We're accountable for our sins. We're accountable for how we represent our God. We're accountable for being responsible in our families, being the leaders in those families. We're accountable to this body, I feel, as believers. They're accountable to one another as well. But through this, you know, God was working with me. What do I do? And that's when I really had to thank Calvary Chapel. And I didn't know where to go. I had attended the When Good Men Get Angry. I had attended all the classes I could find here. And it just, you know, it just seemed, it wasn't hitting home. It wasn't making the change or making an impact in me that I thought I should have. You know, I'm trying to walk around with a smile on my face, but I'm broken inside. I'm coming to church. People know about the story, but you know, you don't want to. I really didn't want to talk about it much at the time. In fact, I couldn't talk about it at the time. It just was tearing me up. But I just started to start I gotta try Challenge Men. I gotta come over here and see what these guys are all about. I'm sorry. And I can remember walking in through those doors over there. And there was a guy that walked up to me, introduced himself, and he said, "I know who you are." And probably from media, from whatever was taking place, but I felt welcome. I felt a piece of sincerity. You know, the guy was really reaching out to me and touched me in a real way. His name is John Biava. Where are you at, John? I don't know where he's at. He's sitting around here somewhere, but yeah. I don't know if you remember that day. You probably do, but it had an impact on me. But there was a word that Skip used. Actually, used it in his last teaching of this. Man, I'm having a hard time. But it was a word, exity. I don't know if you remember it. You know, I see some heads shaking. Yeah, I remember that word. And I thought, that's an odd word, you know. I've really got to do some homework on that. I got to see what it means. And exity, I looked it up, and it said, this word's notes I brought, I said it said something to me. It backs out how I feel about our interaction at times. And it's about how I feel our interaction as men. You know, we come together, and we walk through that door, and we've talked about it a little bit today, and it's like, how you doing, you know? Ken, how you doing today? I'm good, you know, yeah, you know? And how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You know, okay, it's a good day. You know, and it's I know the answer to what I've just the question before I get it. And you guys got to know what I'm talking about. You know, there was a point where I try to make myself not say it, and it's hard to not say. You know, instead of saying, you know, how you doing today? You know, tell me what's God doing in your life today? What's taking place? You know, how are you serving? How are you doing this? You know, what troubles are you going through? What trials? You know, the whole thing that drove me through this and that I really wanted to hit home about was that us being honest with one another. You know, there's a piece of whatever we have in our lives that we can probably hide at different places. You know, we can not talk about stuff. But for me, this is the place that I could be open, I could be honest, and it didn't happen overnight, guys. And I know there's some of you here that are going to really struggle to talk about things in your life, to share stories, to share some tragedies, successes. You know, over the last few months, we've had men speak about, you know, some of the things that have happened in their lives and how it's tore them up. I've sat at tables and I've had stories from men that I've known here for years. I never knew the stories, but the stories have just broken my heart. But they've showed me that men have stayed faithful. You know, we've stayed the course. We've stayed honest and faithful to our God. But that word, again, it said this word was used by medieval Christians to describe the spiritual laziness and basically saying one thing and practicing another. Basically, all they were doing was going through the motions, you know. And guys, I don't want us going through the motions. I don't want to go through the motions. I feel like the time is short. We're in a world that's just insane today. And we know it's going to get a lot worse before it's over. And I don't want what I do to be wasted. I want it to be valuable. I want it to mean something. To mean something in my own life and in the lives of the men around me. So when I talk to men today, I want to know. You know, when a guy says, "Will you pray for me?" Let's take the time to pray for the guy. Let's not say we're going to do it, walk away. Let's pray for him right then and there. You know, let's agree to that we're going to be supportive of one another, that we're going to make this work. We all go through stuff, and I want you to trust your trials that you've gone through. Whatever you've gone through is for a reason, guys. You know, what I went through was for a reason. Was it pretty? No. In fact, I used to say, I wish I could pass this buck. I wish I could move it on to somebody else. Actually, after my son, I was in a bad motorcycle wreck. You know, I should have died from that. I didn't. God spared me. My wife has gone through breast cancer since then. The stories continue to just keep rolling. You know, it just doesn't end. But God has been faithful. You know, the friends around me in this body have been faithful. I can't ask for much more. But really what I wanted to do was I wanted to close and go back over that last verse in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. It says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." We should not have to say anything in this room. We should know that one another is strong, we're founded, we're rooted, and that we're there for one another. So guys, there are stories. I know there's going to be hundreds of stories in this room. And what I really want to do is I don't want to make us feel like the last man standing. I want us to know that we're standing as a group of men. We're not by ourselves when we're standing out there for certain things. We're not alone. As much as I love that show, he's not the only guy out there. I'm just like him. And I know there's a lot of guys in this room that are like that. But guys, what I want you to drive the point home is that we're in this body, we're in this corporate fellowship for a reason. And I want us to be able to count on one another. I want us to be able to share our real life with one another. It's going to be hard for some guys. I know it is. It's not going to take place today. This is a process, guys, that we're going to go through. And I'd love to see us just be able to do that, to be open, honest, and I know our stories are going to impact lives around us, and they're going to support guys that are going through that in lives around us. So that's what I've got. You've got some questions there, but I really would like you to focus the questions and the time about what God's doing in your life. That's what I really want us to do. I'd really like to hear some of those and know what's going on. So that's what I've got, gentlemen. Thank you.
Gentlemen, give it up for Dave Fisher.
So we're about to kick off into group discussion. Gentlemen, there's going to be some challenging questions there at that table. I will encourage you that in another venue, in another time, I've heard Dave Fisher's story. And it impacted me because he was willing to share his story with me. Who knows what man will be impacted by your story at your table if you're open and honest and you're willing to share it. And let it be for the glory of God, because I see a man who suffered so much. He has suffered so much, but yet it's an encouragement because God is in his life. He's still standing. He's still walking. He's still serving. Him and his family are still together. And gentlemen, if you're one of those men and you're on the brink of breaking, be encouraged by a story like that and be encouraged by the stories that are going to be shared at your table. So we'll go ahead and kick it off. We will dismiss at 10. I'll make an announcement before we dismiss. So thank you, gentlemen. Go ahead.